Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Why, hello, and welcome to episode 64 of the Function Get Option Podcast, the irreverent, fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my friend, my buddy, my compatriot, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. What's up, Adam?
Hey, and once again, we have a guest with us this week. We have the one. We have the one and only Mark Benzikane from ServerPress, the team behind Desktop Server and WP Site Sync. Say hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark. How's everybody doing?
Man, that couldn't have been better scripted than ever. That was awesome.
That's because I read it. It was in front of me and I read it.
That's brilliant.
You're amazing, Mark. You are a hero to me and probably to Adam.
Once again, written, and they're just reading this.
Not true.
Oh, really? Then what am I going to say next?
Right. Not true.
Well, I don't want to spoil it.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I can play that game too. I got kids.
All right. Some of that may have been scripted, but you went right along with it, which is awesome. So that's good.
That's why we got Mark on the show. That's why he's here, because he can play along.
Yeah.
My work here is done. Have a great day, everyone.
Mic drop. So, or is it a mark drop? I don't know what it is.
It's a mark. Whatever. You know what? I'm trying to just, make everything markified. Right. So sure, why not?
And Kyle, did you want to mention that the next little thing there in the note, actually, about how people can learn about
it? Anybody who is interested, all you have to go on is like his world-class snarkiness and his great voice. But if like that captures your interest and you want to know more about who this Mark Benzikane guy is, Adam interviewed him at length in a recent episode of his other podcast. And I bet you didn't know this. Adam has another podcast.
Hey, that's right.
He does the Kitchen Sink WP podcast solo without a co-host.
Right. Crazy.
And on episode 224, he interviewed Mark.
Right. So, and actually, just as a side note, this is kind of coming full circle because I was on a show that you guys co-hosted like 3 years ago. Remember when it was a bigger group of people with WP Roundtable? Your other show without any co-hosts now, Kyle Maurer.
Wow.
Right?
That's true.
Yeah.
So yeah, WP Roundtable had Mark as a guest, and then Mark joined the club and helped me interview guests every Monday.
And I was on
that. And then we interviewed Adam once.
Right. I was still living in Redondo Beach at the time.
Wow. So it seems like the only thing that's left is for me to have my own podcast.
Right. Yes.
All right. So if I'm doing the math correctly.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. And just as a FYI, so that was actually as a hangout on air, but the podcast for that was episode 53 back in April 2015.
Wow.
Wow. That is
super cool.
Yeah. So we'll put links to all that in the show notes. If you want to go back and hear Mark on my show and me on their show, you can. That's great.
And I was on your show once.
Were you?
Yeah.
When? Yeah, you were. It's right. I remember you were. It's true. Not only that, but I remember, here's the thing. You're on my show, and then you're immediately like, I could have done better. you're so critical of yourself.
I don't know. It's probably because I'm responsible for the worst episode of every show in WordPress.
Oh, that's right.
The worst episode of WordPress Weekly and the worst episode of Kitchen Sink WP and the worst WP session. No.
Okay, I have to intervene here because if you recall the time I was a guest on your show, Kyle, I don't remember what the technical difficulties were, but we decided that every podcast that I was on, there was going to be something broken because I was on yours, I was on Carrie Dill's, and stuff went wrong every single time. All right. So I might be a little bit – I'm not a competitive person by nature, but I might be a little bit, in that same wheelhouse with you.
Well, I'll give you that. You have a knack for technical challenges when it's time to go live.
Well, that's probably because I don't actually hook up my computer or anything until 30 seconds after it's supposed to start. So maybe
That could be the problem right there.
Yeah. Could be. Might be.
Yeah. And actually, right, Kyle, your episode 73, Kyle, way back on Kitchen Sink. So.
Dang, that was a long time ago.
It was. All right. Moving on. So what's new in your world, Kyle?
Yesterday, I went to the Jackson County Fair, and we walked around, and we looked at lots of fun farm animals, took my little daughter to her first fair, and she loved it. She loved getting to pet, like, the baby creatures and look at the chickens, which are my favorite at the fair. And we had a darn good time. County fair, it's a special thing. I don't know what they do in SoCal or North Carolina, but up here, county fairs are a big deal. So there, that was fun.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. What's a fair? Have you ever been to a fair, Mr. Benzocain, Mr. Mark?
Yeah, so in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin State Fair is a pretty, well, all reports are that it's awesome. Personally, I hate fairs. So I didn't go to the county fair, but as fairs go, traditionally, the kids would go and we would go and they would have a good time. And so judging by the looks on their faces and the fact that most of the time I needed to throw up whatever I just ate.
deep fried. It's all deep fried, right?
Yeah, that's right.
We used to have small ones like in SoCal. There were these small little fairs. And then in Redondo Beach, we had like, you know, the little, they would, the traveling would come through once a year and they would rent out the parking lot of a, you know, theater center or whatever it was. And they have the rides and we do those every now and then, but we stopped, as our kids got older, kind of stopped going. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
sure.
So,
right.
All right. So that's where you went to the fair and Abigail liked it. That's awesome.
She loved it.
Awesome. 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 Cool. Anything else going on, Kyle?
No. What about you?
I went to WordCamp Birmingham. Like I mentioned last week, it was awesome. Had a great time. School starts for my teenagers in about 18 days from the time where we're recording this, which I couldn't be happier about. They're not so happy. And I'm also heading to WordCamp Asheville. I guess when this comes out, is this next? Yeah, so this I'll be on my way to WordCamp Asheville the day after this comes out. Or 2 days later, actually. So yeah, it should be fun. Not speaking of that one, just going to go and attend. It should be interesting. So it's about it.
So for those of us that are geographically challenged, and I will say I'm extremely geographically challenged, where is Asheville?
Asheville's in North Carolina. It is in Smoky Ridge Mountains. So it's about two and a half hours from where I am, from outside of west of Raleigh.
Okay.
Much closer. It'd be the closest WordCamp. Raleigh was the closest, but you know, Birmingham was 8 hours away in Alabama. I've gone to Ohio twice this year. Those were all 8-hour drives. I'm not going to Michigan now because it was canceled, unfortunately. The whole state was canceled.
The state of Michigan. WordCamp Ann Arbor. I started going to WordCamps first. It was actually Mark who was the classic guy who was at every event I attended. Mm-hmm. part of the reason we eventually, you know, got acquainted and started talking because everywhere I went, there was Mark. But now that's basically you. You're taking over that role just being the omnipresent WordCamper.
Yeah, that's it. So, so that's my plan. Going to Asheville. Should be fun.
Good for you.
Thanks. Okay, Mark, what's going on in your life?
I just got back from a 12-day trip to St. Martin Island with three generations of Benzocaine. Wow. So imagine me times 8.
Whoa.
And that's what it was. My brother, who is 8 years young or 10 years younger than me, I hadn't seen in 8 years.
Wow.
And this was the first time that three generations of Benzocaine went on a vacation together. I learned a very valuable lesson. One, this was my first island vacation ever.
Okay.
And you know what? There's something to be said for taking 10 days and doing a lot of nothing.
It's hard. Okay? It's hard to start off.
It's hard because I always like to like go, go, go. And it was like you wake up and – but you know what? I'm kind of into it. And the other thing is, of course, St. Martin got very hit very hard by Hurricane Irma last year, and of course there's a lot of damage and everything there still. And what I discovered is, from now on, I'm going to make my vacations count. I'm going to go to places where the locals really, really appreciate you being there. Mm-hmm. Because they knew that they were not presenting the best form of themselves because of Hurricane Irma, and so your dollar meant a lot more to them, and they were so appreciative of us being there that it was like an added bonus to us already having a really fantastic time, you know, swimming and snorkeling and doing all those things. Well, so, I would say that go to places where your dollar means something to them. It doesn't go very far, but it sure means something to them.
Yeah. Nice. A nice idea.
Very yeah. Cool. Yeah. I'm actually just, you know, I'm going on a vacation in about 20 days from now. Should I mention where I'm going or at this point? Yeah, why not?
It's someplace where they really, I mean, that dollar will mean something.
You think so?
Like, yeah, you as a traveling tourist are just going to be noticed and appreciated completely because there's nothing cliche about going where you are going.
Barstow, California. Just kidding.
You know, I have a theory about Barstow, California. Barstow, California, and El Paso, Texas. And I'm probably going to make a lot of people angry with this, but I've been to both places. And I just have to say, they have been colonized by people whose cars broke down there and they couldn't get out. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
So
cool.
That I probably just really made a bunch of people from Barstow angry. So sorry, Barstow, but you know it's true. Anyway.
Yeah. Nice. Well, hot takes with Mark.
You can email Mark at I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Hate mail at mark.com. No, I'm kidding. All right. Moving on. You ready, guys, to move on?
Yeah.
All right. You sure?
Let me check. Yes.
Okay. Here, let's go then. Yeah, that's right. What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now? What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now? We're skipping the other stuff because we don't have any news at the moment. There's nothing really pressing going on except, Gutenberg. Moving on. So what you wearing, what you drinking, what you reading? All right, Kyle, you go first. I know it says
I'm wearing a Restrict Content Pro t-shirt.
Nice. RCP.
I'm drinking a fruity summer shandy from Shorts Brewery, an awesome place up here in Michigan, representing the local craft beer scene. And I'm still reading The Drawing of the Three by Stephen King.
Okay. Mark, what you wearing, what you drinking, what you reading?
I am wearing shorts and a t-shirt.
Nothing WordPress related?
You know what? As far as I'm concerned, no. There's like no prints on my t-shirt. And, people in general should be thankful that I'm wearing anything because it's like ridiculous hot out here in California. Right. Like, I don't know, 115,000 degrees or something, I think was the forecast. Wow.
You're in the middle of the wildfire?
I'm not too far. I can actually look out the window and see smoke.
That is crazy. Wow.
And it's so hot here that the fire doesn't even come this way because it's worried it's going to cool down by coming this way. So that's how hot it is.
What?
Nice.
So, it's pretty bad. So drinking water, lots and lots and lots and lots of water.
Good.
And if you want to know the brand name, I couldn't tell you. It's something bottle. The book I am reading is Sherry Walling's Entrepreneur's Guide to Keeping Your four-letter word together, which
how is that?
I already read it once, and I read it like when I was like doing a million other things, and so it's fantastic. I mean, Sherry's a terrific person. Of course, she's really big in the WordPress community. A lot of people know her, and I really respect her. She's pretty dang sharp, and she's gone through the whole the whole experience of dealing with being an entrepreneur and trying to raise a family and trying to keep everything together and all that. So I highly recommend the book. You can get it on Amazon.com.
Yeah, I actually met her at WordCamp Miami and I talked to her briefly. And she has a podcast, which we'll talk about later, actually. So there's some, that's awesome. I want to read that. So
by the way, I've also been a guest on that podcast. So.
Awesome. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And get around, man.
Awesome. And nothing went wrong.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm wearing I'm wearing the Woo Ninja shirt from WooCommerce. I'm actually drinking. I just switched it. It was a beer at first, and it was gonna be water. And I just had my son pop. He loves it. He's like, yes. I sent him a message. I'm like, bring me in the beer because I forgot to go get it. I'm drinking a New Belgium Voodoo Ranger Imperial IPA.
I love it. That's a classic.
It is.
It takes longer to say that than it takes to drink
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, come on.
It's a great label. It really is an awesome label. And I'm also reading The Cashflow Quadrant, another business book by Robert Kiyosaki. So
super cool.
There you go.
All right.
Okay, ready to go on? Oh, before we go on, Kyle.
Yeah. Hey, Adam and Mark, I've got some questions for you.
Shoot.
Have you ever made a change to a live website that didn't work the way you thought it would and found yourself scrambling to fix it?
Yeah, of course.
Why, no, Kyle, I haven't.
Well, you're an exception, Mark, in so many ways. Have you ever found yourself needing to restore a backup of a website only to discover that your backup situation didn't work like you thought it did?
Mm-hmm.
Once again, can't think of a time.
Not helping. I can mute him.
Oh wait, I'm supposed to be helping you out here. Dozens of times. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Because we've been doing this for a while. Have you ever had your relationship with a client or customer damaged by these or similar situations?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Of course you have.
It's why I'm in software now.
Yeah, that's right. We've been through this stuff. Yeah. I've experienced all of this. I've experienced embarrassment and financial distress due to these major problems early in my days of working with clients. But it was my fault. I was a rookie. I was expecting my clients to take me seriously, but I was not taking their sites seriously. I thought I could rely on simple plugins or web host provided backups or my own manual routines. Here's what I know now. All those things I tried in my early days of serving clients were stupid, irresponsible, and unprofessional. And you, dear listener, should learn from my / our mistakes. Be a true professional. Prove that you take your clients seriously and know what you're doing. Use Blog Vault for every client site. Blog Vault is an amazing service generating backups and staging sites for WordPress. They're the original backup service for WordPress, and no one does it better. They provide one-click and automated backups, shockingly simple staging site generation, site migration capabilities, team access management, and so much more. In addition, the amazing folks behind Blog Vault have also created another service called Malcare. In their time leading the WordPress backup industry, they learned a ton about security. They recently developed one of the most sophisticated malware scanning and removal tools for WordPress available. As an aside, I recently spent an hour interviewing the founder of Blog Vault on episode 173 of the WP Roundtable show. Suffice to say, he has a very interesting story and is a wonderful person who cares deeply about his customers. If you are already a customer of Blog Vault, reach out to us. We want to hear about your experiences. If not, I encourage you to go to blogvault.net/getoptions, that's one word, or malcare.com/getoptions to get 20% off your first year. Thank you, Blog Vault, for making this episode of the podcast possible.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm seriously in love with their service. I really am.
And I just want to add, I've had some interactions with them, and they are really fantastic people.
Right.
They are. Cool. Yeah. I've had a few interactions from what we do, and they've just been really easy to work with and super helpful. So I appreciate that a lot because it makes our jobs easier.
Thanks for chiming in, Mark.
On that happy note, hey, Kyle, hey, Mark, guess what time it is?
Oh, I'd like to phone a friend, Regis. Mark, the question is, do you know what time it is? I've got $1 million on the line. Can you help me?
Time's
up.
I'm thinking maybe, I don't know, questions time. Or
that's
something.
It, that's right, people. It's questions time. You sent them in, we read them, we researched them, and now it's time to give you some options. That's right. Are we ready, guys? Are we ready? Woohoo! I'm excited. I am pumped up, Kyle.
You are wound up.
I'm wound
Settle
up.
Down.
Yeah.
Just simmer down, old man.
It's this beer. It's this half beer I just had.
Wow.
I'm going to read this first question, if you don't mind. This is coming at you from Joey J. He says, "Hi, I'm Kyle. It's Joey J from Singapore again. Thank you for answering my question in episode 61. You're welcome, Joey. Today, I want to ask you a little strange question, if you don't mind. Do you want to keep your websites alive after you die as a digital legacy to your family, friends, and fans alike? I'm thinking about this a lot recently, because I do want to keep my self-hosted photography website alive beyond my time on Earth. If there are web hosting companies that I can pay in advance for the next 100 years of hosting, I'd be happy to do so. Whether the company can last for the next 100 years is another question, though. In reality, it's quite a challenge to keep a self-hosted website alive when the webmaster passes away, as someone has to renew its web hosting and domain name every year, or else the website will be taken down for good. The only way seems like turning your website into a business, then there will be employees taking care of it, or asking your child to take it over and renew on your behalf. I hope to hear your views, opinions on this rarely discussed but potentially crucial topic. Thank you in advance. P.S. I've written a not yet published post about this topic titled How to Keep Your Website Alive After We Die, and I'm looking for a guest post opportunity because my own website is about photography and this topic isn't a good fit. Thank you, Joey J., for the interesting question, which is not like any that we've gotten before that I remember.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, I have a few options here, you know.
Before we give our options, like, have you guys ever actually thought about this before? I mean, let's be honest. How do I say this? I mean, you guys are old.
Oh.
Okay. I think about it every day. Okay. And I'll tell you what my idea is, but I'll wait for Adam to
Well, try. I was going to say, as far as thinking about it, I mean, I most recently realized that if something happens to me, a lot of the passwords, a lot of access to sites that I have, banking, financials, my wife, or, you know, I use 1Password, and apparently there's a way to, I guess I could print off a barcode scan that people, it's like a let them in. That's first and foremost top of my mind, honestly, is like, what if something happens and Ellen can't get into accounts that she should rightfully be able to get into? Plain and simple.
Sure.
So you got to have that kind of a plan. So I'm looking at that first and foremost prior to websites and client sites, those I don't really care about at the moment, you know. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So the answer on A question being something I think about, or do I want to keep it up and running forever? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's not like a big thing.
Yeah. You know.
Option one for me.
Okay.
I have three. I'm going to give you option one to start. We'll kind of go around the round.
Hit us.
We'll go around.
Hit us.
Don't die.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Right. Just, you know, simply don't die. Figure it out.
But you can't, you can also like not retire or what? Like just like keep maintaining your website yourself forever? Once you get, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, don't die. I mean, I don't care what you do after that, but that we don't, yeah, you pay for, you just, you know, then boom, there's option.
I think Adam's saying he's not thinking of realistic solutions. He's just thinking of solutions.
It's an option. I'm just saying it's an option. People who listen to the show, Mark, know that you would give options. Not all of them are good.
Right, right.
What you got, Mark?
So I have thought about this, and I thought, I might be a little bit weird, but...
And now I've heard everything. No, might be. No. Come on.
But I'm thinking that what I would do is I would want to keep my website alive. And I don't necessarily have the solution as far as how you would do that. But I'd want to keep it alive. And I would write content for like the next 20 or 30 years after I die. And I would have it like timed to post like on a regular basis.
Assuming the cron job doesn't
really
fail.
Freak people out like I'm still alive. Right. And sometimes it would be like predictions. And like every once in a while, I'd probably hit the nail right on the head and they'd be like, oh, my goodness, he was psychic or whatever.
Psychotic.
And it would like freak people out. And then they'd go, maybe he really is alive. And then it would be like the whole Elvis thing, right? Like, is Elvis dead? We don't know, no. Do we? So, you know, I'm thinking that that would be the approach that I would take with it. It's like I don't necessarily want a website so people can go on and remember me. I want them to go on and like feel like I'm still like there. And so and maybe freak people out just a little bit. So that would be kind of like the approach that I would take with like an evergreen website.
I love it.
Is that the content would get updated regularly and it would be truly content from me.
Okay, so to quote Men in Black, Elvis didn't die, he just went home.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
I love it. Yeah. I'm so like jazzed now, like I want to write a blog post and like set the publish date for like 20.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's like a time capsule, except freakier, right? So.
Okay. All right. So, Kyle, you have an option?
Yeah. Well, we do a segment on this show sometimes called Deletable History. Mm. And in that, we're reminded of how poorly some of our works hold up to the test of time.
You are. I'm not.
Yeah. We've dug up websites that I was at one time very proud of. And now they invoke fits of laughter whenever they're seen. So my first option is to not do this at all. Websites don't age well. Just the thought of one of my early websites staying online indefinitely, looking more obviously dated and silly every year, makes me shudder. So there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Option two for me. Be reincarnated or just pass your energy to another consciousness. You know, so that way we can just set them for some unknown reason that they are compelled to write on your behalf. Almost become a ghost, if you will. Haunt some other person to write for you. So that's what ghostwriting comes from, I believe.
Right.
Okay.
Ghost blogging.
Oh. I wonder if it's possible to like hypnotize or like induce this in someone so that it lasts. Right. Like they you impart your personality upon them, or they think that they're you, just like, you know.
Right.
Somebody might think, you know, like I'm Theodore Roosevelt, or you know.
That's awesome.
I'm Adam Silver.
Yeah, I must write today. It's Wednesday. Podcast must come out, or yeah, something. I don't know.
This is weird.
I do have a third option. Do you have any more, Kyle?
I don't know. We got to go to Mark to make less weird, because that's what he'll do.
Do you have anything other besides being weird, Mark? Are you anything else?
Besides being weird, I really don't, because I put so much thought into my other idea.
That's fine. Okay.
We want the authentic Mark.
One and done. Mark's one and done. That's all good.
I'm one and done, man. Yeah, you take it or you leave it, but that's it. Yeah.
Right on. Okay. Kyle, anything else?
Because I think
I have a third option.
Yeah, I have more options to chew. But I mean, if you're gung ho.
Okay, so I suggest, you know, the my true answer here, the better of the other two options, I believe, are the three.
Well, the others were so good,
well,
Adam.
Well, this one may top it. So get a lawyer, write it in your last will and testament to document it so that it can be distributed after your death to a person of your choosing. Register and pay for hosting ahead of time, 9 or 10 years. And I did look this up. There is a company out there that will do 100-year renewal package from one specific host. You can own your domain for a year, 100 years out. Apparently, you get a major discount. Then you set up the funds to manage that, you know, like Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Doc Brown had Western Union paid to deliver a letter in time at a certain place to Marty.
Sure.
So you can do these things. It can be done. It's a small investment and just a planning situation.
And I was going to say, the one thing that he brought up is you don't actually have to pay for domain name registration every year anymore. You can buy, I think, 10 years out. Well, 100. It sounds like 100 years
out. You can buy. There's one host.
But I mean, you can actually, with a registrar, pay for 10 years out right now. I don't know if the way that what you're talking about is like they automatically renew it for you, or if they're an actual registrar that.
Yeah, I don't think they're registrar. I think it's a company that has an agreement to buy it.
Yeah, that's what I'm
thinking.
According to what I'm looking at, I'll say who it is. Web.com Network Solutions, you can buy your domain for 100 years. So I'm not sure. I don't know how they're going to guarantee that. You won't be there. They won't be here. You know?
Network Solutions shouldn't be still in business now, let alone 100 years from now.
You know, I wasn't sure if we're allowed to offer opinions on Network Solutions.
I just did.
Because we could, like, write a whole show just on how...
So clearly they're not going to be a sponsor.
Craptastic they really are.
Okay.
I could tell you stories from back when they were called Internic, which was which is what Network Solutions became, but that's a whole nother show.
Well, yeah, that's great. Right there with you. Those sound like good stories.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, offline, I try not to disparage people, but oh my goodness.
All right. So Kyle, what's your final little option there?
I think if this is only applicable to loved ones, this is a distinction to consider. If what you're saving is for the public or for your loved ones, that can change the approach that you take. Like, you could save the website as HTML pages and store it permanently on drives or disks or some cloud storage account. If you want to, you only need hosting in a domain if it is necessary for it to be publicly accessible on the internet.
True.
So it's still technically possible for someone to open up the web page and browse it.
Right.
And,
I mean, I have
access all the content.
I have old sites in a folder that are flat HTML files, which I've brought up locally. I showed you guys, I think, when we were in Dayton.
Sure.
You know.
Oh yeah. Sure.
So not live on a server anymore, but still, because I used to do them in Dreamweaver, so I had a local copy of everything. You know.
Yeah. If it's something that you want loved ones to be able to access whenever they want,
right?
You can store it in some format that'll last whatever, as long as you think it needs to last.
Well, and the truth of the matter is we don't know, with virtual reality and all these other things and the way that things are going, we don't really know what the internet and the web is going to look like even 10 years from now or 20 years from now. So, so it's really going to have to be, I think, to make something, you know, last forever, you're really going to have to go like some old school method in order to maintain it forever, because we don't know what things are going to look. We don't even know what PCs are going to look like.
Well, I can tell you, when the aliens come and they do the EMP, all data will be gone anyways.
Okay, well, there's that.
I mean, yeah, but then, I mean, how many people at that point are going to be like, doggone it, Adam's old photography site is gone forever.
Okay, so what it boils down to is we have to put all of our data on punch cards.
Right. Or tablets. When I say tablets, I mean like tablets of like stone, like Moses.
Yeah. Punch cards and tablets. There you go. It's going to be back to hieroglyphs.
Okay. Maybe pull up every page on your website.
Just be hieroglyphs.
So just
pull up every page and paint it.
Okay.
Like with a brush on a canvas.
So to focus back real quick on Joey's question, you know, do we think about it? Yes, we all think about it. Are we taking actions?
I haven't thought about
it. Okay, two of us have thought about it. The old guys.
Well, that's because you're 12, Kyle.
Yeah. So Joey, you know, yes, two out of three of us have thought about it. Are we taking actions moving forward at the moment? I'm not really. I don't think Mark is either. But there are options that you can do 10 years out. You could buy a domain 100 years out if you want to go that route. Or you can also just make an offline copy to then put into a safety deposit box. There you go.
I personally think it's more of an arrangement between a host. I mean, more of a relationship with a loved one than it is between a host and a registrar.
I think so, too.
Like, designated someone who officially is responsible for maintaining your online legacy, if you have one that you think is worth maintaining, which I personally don't think mine is. If somebody wants to maintain the BetterFly plugin for years beyond my life, they can do so. I'm not going to pressure anyone to take on that burden.
I'm
going to
sell Concierge OPP before I die.
So you can provide them with the resources, monetary or software technology and instructions. And as long as you trust them to follow your wishes, you can RIP and they're empowered to make decisions on your behalf. Like what if a hosting company goes out of business and they need to transfer it, then they should be empowered to do so. It's just their responsibility.
Right. Okay. All right. I think we wrap that up with a nice little bow. Moving on to question two. This was an audio question sent in by, what was the name of this one? Do you remember, Kyle?
No, I don't.
Sam. It was Sam.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Sam sent this audio question in. Here we go.
Ask him, okay, what does GDPR affect me in the United States?
So it's really short. And it's a, well, how will and if will, how do I even word this? Will GDPR affect me in the United States? It's kind of low on the audio, so I'm just going to repeat it there. So Sam sent that question in. Will GDPR affect me in the U.S.? I have an easy option and answer. Yes.
I say no.
Oh,
I
Mark,
say it's pretty simple.
Tiebreak.
You just do a data purge, collect no data, no user accounts, no purchase records, no backups, no contact form entries, no email subscribers, no analytics. The result is you'll have no data whatsoever, so no one can come after you, and your business will also be a pathetic failure, so they won't need to bother.
I don't disagree with that. The other option is just don't do business with Europeans and everything's fine.
Okay. So, but
but of course that doesn't work for those of us who work online, but
right. So will GDPR affect me in the US? The answer is if you're doing business with anybody who is based in Europe, in the European Union, the answer is yes. You have to protect that concept of reaching out to them via email lists, sales, marketing, etc. And there are rules and regulations and there can be fines. Has anyone been fined yet? No. Will people be? I don't know. Let me ask you real quick. I'm gonna lead this here for a second. Both of you work for large companies. Mark, you are a partner of one.
large companies, just compared
huge,
to yours.
Huge,
enormous, only compared ginormous. To yours.
Yeah. You're right, like, right. Yeah. That's fine. But truly. So has ServerPress done anything in relation to this? Are you guys GDPR compliant?
We are GDPR compliant,
Okay, and has...
And to be honest, I'm not too terribly worried about it.
Right.
But we are GDPR compliant.
So did you scrub your email list? Did you guys scrub through it? Did you guys scrub through it and retag your email list and like get new opt-ins?
Yep, did all that.
Okay.
So, yeah. You know, and it's one of those things where we aren't really a huge company, and from everything that I've been able to gather and really, if anybody's going to get hit, it's going to be the big companies. I mean, I think it was the New York Times got hit hard and, you know, a couple other companies, but I think that that's really what they're going after is just, you know, that type of thing. Because they want to go with the people who can actually afford to pay the huge fines that they're going to be
handing out. How about Sandhills? Is Sandhills GDPR compliant based on your email list at this point and interactions?
Yeah. We worked pretty. It was a lot of work. Most of the work was putting it in put into our software to ensure that is because that allows other people to be collecting data, personally identifiable data for their customers. So that was a lot of work that really derailed all the work that we wanted to be doing developing our product this year. But it's great. But here's the thing, you guys.
What's the thing?
The question is just focused on GDPR, but you know what? There's a lot of other legislation in the works that is quite similar. Even your great state of California, Mark, has been working on very reminiscent legislation. Last I checked. So here's the thing, like, it's going to be affecting everybody. GDPR is just like the first.
And in a way, I kind of feel like, I mean, the legislation is coming and everything, but a lot of this is stuff that we should have been doing anyway.
True, I agree.
So, you know what I'm saying? So, we should always be guarding our client's privacy, and we should make sure that they're on board with us having the data that we have. And all that stuff is stuff that we should be doing anyway. So to have somebody come and legislate, it should be, well, okay, it's not that big of a deal because we already feel ethically bound to do this. So that's sure. kind of the way I feel about it.
I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan.
I mean, I can tell you right now, well, so Concierge...
I'm understanding, but I don't like it.
Concierge WP is... Sure. My clients are all U.S.-based. Well, that's not true. I have one in Singapore, ironically enough. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you know, I'm pretty small potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So hope that answers your question for you, Sam. It is time now to move on to our segments. We're doing two because we have a guest. We're going to do a personal question. So we don't have a sound effect for that. So yes, we do. My bad.
It's time for the personal question.
Forgot I made that last week, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right.
It is so good. You ready?
Yeah. Who's going first on this one?
You are.
I am? Mm-hmm. Who am I asking? Oh, I'm asking Mark. Okay. Oh, this is going to be rough.
Uh-oh.
Just so people know, the listeners know, there's no, we don't know the questions we're asking the other people. So, okay. Mm-hmm. So, Mark.
Right.
Are you happy with the decision on discussing and talking about desktop server 4.0 so early on before it shipped, because it hasn't shipped? Sorry.
That's not a personal question. That's a professional question.
Okay. It is pretty professional.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not personal at all. I thought you were going to ask me something like, you know, what time do you wake up in the morning?
Okay. All right.
I mean, come on.
Okay. I have a backup. You want more of a personal?
I'm happy to answer that one. I'm just saying.
You're right. It's personal/professional. But you know, your life, what we do, they're overlapped. So I went that route.
Okay. That's true, and that's very true. Very true, and I get it. And do you want me to answer that question?
I do.
Do you have like another one?
I answer that one. Yeah.
Okay. So the answer to your question is: am I, hindsight being 20/20? Am I happy with my decision, which, by the way, was an executive decision made by me? So I'm going to completely throw myself under the bus on this. No, if I had known that it was going to take this long to talk about 4.0, I probably would have held it closer to the vest for a little bit longer. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. However, I will say that by having it out there, even though it has taken us a while to work on it, it has put pressure on us to get it out. So that's been the positive side of that, is that there's been that constant pressure for us to get it out as a result. And we feel certainly responsible to our customer base.
I mean,
get that out.
I'll say full disclosure. I mean, obviously, I kind of knew your answer. We're friends.
Yeah.
I also know that you've gotten, as a company and personally, but you guys have gotten just attacked left and right, which I always felt really bad about. But yeah, it was one of those things that, you know, was mentioned way before its time, not knowing what it would take to rewrite the code base.
Well, I mean, it was announced when we had like a 99% working version of Mac. What we didn't realize was that Windows was going to be the big
gorilla
headache. I'm gonna avoid any four-letter terms, but
thank you.
Yeah, the big headache that it was to put out a Windows version of it, and you know, but ultimately, we got a little bit of bad, I wouldn't say press necessarily, because it's not exactly like some people are writing about it, but we've gotten some bad vibes from customers about it, and a little bit of poor feedback, and I don't know that I blame them for feeling the way that they do.
Of course,
I wish that we had been a little bit closer to the vest on that one.
Yeah. I mean, I remember seeing it way back. I mean, obviously, Greg and I are friends.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing it. I mean, I want to say it wasn't, I guess maybe 2015, 2016. I mean, I saw it early and I was like, this is going to be awesome, you know? And so it's one of those things that just, you know, you can't put the genie back in the bottle, right?
Right. Right.
So it happens. But honestly, from perspective of a user of desktop server, people know I'm a big fan and I did some work with you guys for a while. And, the other thing is, I think every time someone's attacked you, you personally, you know, because, you know, you're kind of replying to most of those attacks, have been extremely professional and extremely civil in your replies. I have yet to see, you know, anything mean-spirited about how you've approached it, which I am amazed at.
You know? Well, it's and the honest to goodness truth is, first of all, I come from a world of needing a workflow product that works for me in a development environment. That's where I came from. So it's not hard for me to empathize with these people. So despite the verbiage or the terminology or the personal attacks or however they want to approach me, I get where they're coming from with the, and it's just, you know, from a little bit of frustration. And believe me, I can tell you, there's not a person on our team that has not lost sleep trying to get this stuff done. It's not like we've been this vacation that I took to St. Martin, that's the first vacation that I've had in like 14 years. Right. So, you know, it's not like we have just rested on our laurels and said, oh, we're just going to collect money, which a couple of people did accuse us of. Oh, you're just putting out a product and collecting money. And then, you know, and you know, I'm like, well, you know, you're welcome to come and walk a mile in my shoes, right, and see that that's not what we're doing. But I understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
So, and I think that that's where the regret comes in, is because I don't ever want anyone to feel like we as a company or I as a person have misled them, especially not intentionally.
Right.
So, yeah.
Makes sense. So, cool. Right on. Yeah. See, it is personal. See, it's a personal question.
Well, it is personal. Yeah. I mean, I can get a little bit person on it, but yeah.
All right.
Sure. Fair enough.
Mark, your turn to ask Kyle a question.
All right, Kyle, this is a personal question.
I'm here.
And it's a two-parter. Are you ready?
Oh, okay. Bonus. Okay. Fine.
Now, I didn't write this down ahead of time, so it might be clumsily asked, but you recently became a father. Congratulations.
Mm, thank you.
Okay. So the two-parter is, what was one thing that you would say was good that was better than you expected about being a parent, and one thing that was way worse than you ever expected as being a parent?
Mm. Okay. Right on. Right on, Mark. Yeah. Super fun. Well, see, it's tricky.
Time's up.
Because Abigail is the perfect child. Like, in every sense of the word. Like, she's the greatest baby that this world has ever known.
I've clearly asked this question prematurely. Let's revisit next year.
She is so great. She's going to be 1 year old, 1 year old, 1 year this month, at the end of this month. And she is outstanding. Mm-hmm. Perfect in every possible way. She sleeps. She plays. She's adorable. She's fun. She eats. She never gets sick. She's just a total blast. So what's better? Literally everything that I anticipated. And I was looking forward to fatherhood for a long time. Like, longer than most people my age were. And when she came along, it was, I had high hopes and they were exceeded almost every way. Mostly, I didn't anticipate how much fun she would actually be. I think that's the biggest thing that stands out. Like, I thought I would love it. I thought she would be a blast. But I really love actually spending time with her. Mm-hmm. And my younger self kind of anticipated feeling a greater sense of loss for some of the things I enjoyed doing in my free time previously. Mm-hmm. I thought, like, oh, well, my social life might suffer. Some of my hobbies might suffer. And that's sad. Blah, blah. Wah, wah. But here I am now. And I am excited about my spare time to get to spend with her, because she is so fun. Even when she's just a few months old or under a year, she's toddling about now and doing the most hilarious things. And I can play with her, and she's great. So I didn't expect this level of just fun and entertainment. As far as what's more difficult or what's worse than I thought, shoot, I don't know. That an answer to that escapes me, because not much has been. Hard.
He has so much to learn.
Now, like, I wonder. Yeah. We want to have another child, and I have greater anxiety than ever about that second, because how on earth could they be this perfect?
Well, you know,
is it even possible?
Yeah, and I'll just give you my experience, which was my first child. It was the same thing. Eli was like exactly what you're describing. And the question was constantly, how can I love a second child as much as I love this first child? I mean, it really, and then 5 years later, Brenna came along and the kid was hell on wheels. I mean, like the first 2 years of her life, I could not get her to sleep for anything. But I love her every single bit as much as Eli, who was like this easy baby, slept on time, did all the things, you know, and Brenna is a little firecracker, which is exactly what I want, especially since, you know, you in a world that is a male dominated society, you want a girl who is a firecracker and knows what she wants and, you know, and determined and all those things. And sometimes it drives me a little bit nuts, but boy, do I want to encourage that in her, especially because of the type of world that we live in. But I will say that for me, it was very easy to fall every bit as much in love with my second child as it was with my first, even though they were completely different.
Yeah, and just to balance that all out, yeah, I have three, and they're just weird. No, I'm kidding. I love them. Honestly, on the same concept here, when we had our first one with Avalon, when we had second one was coming, I was seriously concerned that I would not be able to, like, how am I going to have enough love for number two? And it turns out you have 100%, and then you have, all of a sudden, you have 200% love. You just do. And then 300% love. Yeah. Now, there's a huge difference between love and like, you know.
Yes, well.
Especially in the teen
years.
We all
have those moments, yeah.
Right. I mean, they don't like me all the time. I don't like them all the time, but I love them. It's always love. So, yeah. I mean, they're pretty cool. But also, Kyle, real quick, you know, you put out a tweet last night, and my daughter challenged you.
Oh, that's true.
She submitted a question for the show, which maybe we'll come to sometime in the future, but we'll come back to that.
Avalon. She's sometimes her, I don't know. That's all I got to say.
Challenge. Okay. But
I have a question for you, Adam.
Okay. Moving on.
It's your turn. It's your turn in the hot seat real quick. And we'll try and lighten things up a little bit. Please. This is getting heavy. Yeah, getting emotional. I want you to open up and look at your past. And answer this for me. Which phase from your past was the worst? Which one were you maybe most ashamed of? Or when were you least productive? Or what was most derailing for the future that you wanted to pursue? I mean, could have been relationships or career pursuits or embarrassing trends that you adopted. Which one, really, you look back and say, that was the worst phase?
This morning. No, I'm kidding. No, I mean, honestly, I mean, you said this is going to be not so deep. When I was a freshman or a sophomore in college, I was at junior college originally before I transferred to a four-year. Looking back at it, this is deep. I had a difficult time accepting. You caught me on this one. I mean, So, truth be told,
pick a different one.
No. I mean, tough time. I mean, I had a. this is first thing popped in my head. I had a difficult time accepting love from, you know, when I was dating somebody with somebody. Yeah, I couldn't accept the fact that they were with me.
For whatever. But you got over that? Like, that was you think of that as a phase?
That was a phase. Yeah.
Something you learned and overcame?
Yeah. That was a phase. Wow, that was the first thing that popped in my head. Yeah. Wow. Okay, on that note.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't see that coming at all. Woo. Okay. I need more beer.
Yeah.
I think if I wasn't drinking this beer,
first thing that comes to your head.
If I wasn't drinking the beer, I would have had a different answer. But there you go. You know, I'm just going to tell it like I see it and hear it.
That's
so.
What happens when you choose an Imperial IPA.
Oh man, that was strong. I'm a little buzzed. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
It's the first beer I've had like in 3 months.
Wow.
Seriously. Yeah. So, all right. All right. Moving on to our second segment of this show because we're running out of time here. Do in queue. These are things we want to share that we have in our queue that we think you, the listener, would be wise to follow and maybe put in your queue of things to do and listen to and watch or read, etc. So I'll go first on this one. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have a couple. I have fiction book. I'm as people may know, I'm reading the Reacher, Jack Reacher series of books. I think it's an easy read. It's a way to escape. Pretty simple. A podcast, I think, would be good to add to your queue is Zen Founder. We talked about Sherry Walling earlier, as well as the other podcast is it's called The Life Coach School. Brooke Castillo, I think is how you say her name. Pretty interesting. Kind of, there's some truths in what she says, a lot of truth, but she's really bold and brash in how she approaches coaching people, and we need to hear it, you know. And then lastly, a movie, which I watched recently, which I thought was really interesting, and especially in the time we're in, it's The Post with Meryl Streep. Freedom of the press, right to publish, truth and facts, and need to be out there and shared because of where we're at in today's world, I think is the press is more important than ever. So The Post, I watched that about 2 weeks ago. So check that out. So there you go. That's my my cool. Thank you.
Good list.
Thanks.
I got a few things for you.
Okay.
Lately, my wife and I have been talking a little bit about traveling stuff, and one of our favorite shows, there's so many travel shows out there, I got to tell you, there's so many. And a lot of them are, you know, just like a different personality, just blandly walking through the best sites of a foreign country or something. And you know, it gets kind of monotonous, but Richard Ayoade, who starred in one of my favorite comedies, The IT Crowd, now has a show called Travel Man, and it's fantastic. I think it's available on Hulu. There's some episodes on YouTube, and it's a total riot. It's not like other travel shows, but you do get to see some sights, but he is one of the funniest guys around, and just makes it a blast to watch. Both my wife and I really enjoy it. You can go to wordsesh.com and now check out the sessions from WordSesh, which took place a week or two ago. And there's some really good stuff there. Solid sessions. Pippin, my boss, actually gave the keynote at WordCamp Kansas City some time ago, and the video is now up on WordPress.tv. I watched it recently, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good talk.
You already have the job.
I thought it was a good talk.
Okay.
I recently listened to an episode of a new podcast on the, I'm thinking it's the Radiotopia Network. It's called Everything is Alive. Mm-hmm. Did you listen to this, Adam?
I know of it. I haven't listened to it yet. Yeah.
It's pretty fascinating. This creative guy is creating a show where the concept is he's interviewing inanimate objects.
Yeah, I heard the commercial for it.
They're like played by a real person, but answering as though they were that object, talking about their experiences and their perception of the world. And it, like, it's really creative and weird, but once you listen to it, it just is fascinating. It helps you, like, see things in a different way. And I also really enjoyed episode 121 of the Waking Up with Sam Sanders podcast, which is great. Sam Sanders is brilliant. But in episode 121, titled White Power, he interviewed, in front of a live audience, a former white supremacist. And that guy's got a great story. It's very powerful. They had a long Q&A session with the audience, and I thought it was a very moving and enlightening episode. And the most recent movie that I've watched was Murder on the Orient Express, which I would rate highly. I like those mystery movies. It's based on the Agatha Christie. And I also read that long article the McDonald's fraud one. Did you guys
wasn't
that
amazing?
That was awesome.
That was nuts.
And
that
actually
was so crazy. That was crazy.
The rights were just bought by Affleck and what's his name? His buddy,
Matt Damon.
They bought the rights to make a movie out of that.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
It deserves it.
Yeah.
I saw the headline for a while and I didn't read it because I just skim headlines mostly. But then
that was a deep article too. That was crazy.
It's a long read and you took one of the ones I was going to talk about, that's okay. But because I'm not like a long read guy, but it was so fascinating that by the time I got to the end of it, I was like, if this doesn't get made into a screenplay, then I have no hope for Hollywood at all.
You weren't the only person to say that.
Yeah. And then like 3 days later, apparently it was picked up as like Adam said, as a screenplay. So
that's great.
Cool. We'll link to that link. Kyle, put that in the show notes. I'll make sure that goes out too.
Yeah. It's a fantastic read. And even though it is a long read, it's an easy read. I mean, it's very gripping, so it's worth it.
What else you got in your queue, Mark?
Not a heck of a lot because I just got back from vacation. But on the lightweight sort of stuff, I actually think I've wrapped my mind around the idea that I'm going to start watching Game of Thrones. So I haven't even seen episode one of it.
Neither have I.
But I kind of am like, I'm like that guy that like hates getting to the end of a season and realize that that's just a cliffhanger for the next season. So I like to wait till the show is actually finished,
right,
before I'll watch it. And I don't really care if people send out spoilers and this and that and the other thing, because I'm short attention span enough to know that I'll forget whatever they said by the time I get around to watching it. So it's not really that big of a deal. Yeah. So like, I just watched like on the plane, I just watched, the Avengers movie on the plane on the way back, and Infinity Wars. And someone had told me every single person that died in it, but by the time I watched the movie, I had forgotten all that. And I didn't know how everybody died or whatever. And, you know, and it turns out everybody dies in the movie. And you're
Don't tell me. I haven't seen it.
I'm just kidding. No, well, see. Yeah, yes, you have. That's, and then the other thing is like, I got to get on the season two of Santa Clarita Diet. See, that's one of those shows where I watched the first season. And I'm like, well, now what? So it's twisted. It's right up my alley, you know, that kind of thing. The McDonald's thing, can't speak highly enough about how awesome that is. And then, if you want to go a little bit heavier, I don't tend to watch TV or tend to read for like heavy, heavy stuff like books. I really like an escape. But once in a while, I'll watch something that kind of hits me right between the eyes, whether it's intentional or accidental, or because, or it might be because someone highly recommended it. And if you haven't watched Nanette, the Hannah Gadsby Netflix special, have you heard about this?
No.
Okay. It's really quite all the talk. And it's this woman, she's a comedian who is a lesbian, and she talks a lot about her life growing up. She grew up in Australia in a small town in Tasmania, and just having to go through that. And then like the last, I would say it took me a while to watch it. I watched like 10 minutes at a time. I'm like, I'm not really sure I'm into this, but I'm telling you, you get to that last 20 minutes, and then that last, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes, it really hits you right between the eyes. And whether you identify with the lifestyle or anything like that, or have a hard time, it at least helps you to put yourself in the shoes of somebody who lives a lifestyle that you may not relate to. And it's very emotional, it's very moving, and it's like, wait, this isn't funny at all. But I recommend, it should almost be like, if you're a human being, I almost recommend it should be required watching, just because it helps you with, I'm a big guy, I when it comes to like empathy, I try to empathize with everybody, and see things from their point of view. And some people can put it in such a way that you almost feel like you can see it through their eyes, and she does a fantastic job of that. And so I don't know how else to put it, but watch it, and if you're not moved, then you're not human. That's all I have to say.
Fair enough. Wow. And we'll link to all these in the show notes as well, so people can follow along.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's time to wrap it up. Kyle, you want to take us out?
Are you sure we have time? I mean, that's all, getting a little bit late.
That's it.
So we'll, all right, let's wrap it up.
Make it quick.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to the episode. Whatever episode this is, insert 64. Number of episode.
64.
Adam will post-edit this and like insert the episode number so it sounds like I said the right number.
Try it again.
He's really
again.
Good about that. Thanks for listening to episode
64.
Whatever this is. 64, thank you. And we appreciate you, listener. We love you. We're big fans of you. And we hope that you are at least enough of a fan of us to send more questions our way so that we can answer them on a future episode. We might even, in the near future, get more awesome guests. I don't know if it'll be as good as this one. We did have Snark Benzekeen with us today.
Whatever.
The godfather of Snark. And I really appreciated his perspective. I mean, wasn't he great? Wasn't he the best?
He was fantastic.
I had a fantastic time, but all this butt kissing is going to make me have to like go use the toilet in a few minutes. So.
All right.
Yeah, that's why we love you, Mark. Yeah. Well, we are grateful to Mark for coming on the show. We're grateful to Blog Vault for sponsoring the show. We're grateful to Joey and Sam for sending those great questions. And we appreciate you, dear listener, who is about to head to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating, and then go to our website, getoptionspodcast.com, blah, blah, and send us some questions. That's it.
Is that all you got, Kyle?
That's all I got.
Okay, I'm going to take us one more thing out. So you can find us online, Twitter primarily, get_options. You can find Kyle at Mr. Kyle Maurer, Adam's at Hey Adam Silver, that's me, and Mark is at at Mark Benzak, B-E-N-Z-A-K-M-A-R-C, B-E-N-Z-A-K. And we are also over at SoundCloud, get_options. Say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye, guys.
Goodbye, guys.